we have value that we can show. Every company should know that. And sometimes that requires storytelling, because you're not going to be able to just say, hey, you have a story that you're bringing to us. My AC is broken. I need it fixed. We have to tell you the story. We have to tell you how that value is. And once they understand that story, then you can move forward with them.
The story is almost, it's the education aspect of it. It's, you're educating the customer, not only about your, obviously, the services you offer, where you are, right? It allows you to show your business for who you are. At the end of the day, we're all people.
You're listening to Bluetooth, the home services podcast featuring the top owners, marketers, and operators across the trade, bringing contractors together to uncover real problems, provide real solutions, and push the trades forward. This is Bluetooth.
What's up, everybody? Brandon from Blue Corona here, and you're listening to another episode of Bluetooth, the home service podcast powered by Blue Corona. I'm joined here. We're at Nexstar's headquarters in, I'll say, beautiful Edina, Minnesota. It's a little gray.
Hard eye.
Okay. All right. Well, we're here at Nexstar Strategic Partner Day. Nick, this morning's session led by David was incredible. It was really great to lean into and just immerse myself really more into what Nexstar is about. I think I didn't really know what to expect, honestly, coming into Partner Day. Give our listeners an introduction into who you are. You mentioned you joined Nexstar in the trades about 4 years ago, but you are a digital marketing coach at Nexstar.
Yeah, so that's correct. I joined in September of 2019, so right before we all had to start doing our work from home. And it was an amazing transition into doing coaching. It was not something I ever expected to do, but now that I'm here, it's something that I love doing. And my job is basically to help our members achieve. I think it's best stated in our mission statement, Nexstar's mission statement being to turn the world's best tradespeople into the world's best business people. And it's really amazing for us to be able to go and help them and not just say, hey, I'm here to give you answers. I'm not consultative. I'm here to help you find what's best for yourself and help you develop as a digital marketer. Such an amazing experience. I think digital marketing is an industry that has so much support. Every time you go to a conference, anybody that is a speaker will take time out to talk with you and to make sure that you get the answers that you need. And I've always loved that kind of support. And it's just so wonderful to be able to give that back to the people who are now working on those front lines and making sure their digital marketing is going to help them learn and experience and be even better and not just know where to ask the questions, but be better themselves than they ever were before.
So let's take it a step above that. What is Nexstar Network? What is your mission? I mean, you said turning the world's best tradespeople into the world's best business people, but what does Nexstar do?
That's a great question, and thank you for steering me. Love it. So Nexstar's job as a company, again, that mission statement still holds true. And what we do is we are a member-owned organization that has 1,000 members within the United States, Canada, and Australia, all who are dedicated to pushing the industry forward. And so Nexstar is that membership group. It is the network. And our job is to come together at things like Strategic Partners Day today and all the other things that we do to be better, to help our members be better, and to help them see and discover and find more so that they can have the most successful business as possible. So work with them day in and day out. There are 14 different coaches that they have available to them within Nexstar that will do everything from digital marketing like I do, to marketing, to accounting, to sales, to inventory, to software.
So essentially across every aspect of a contractor's business.
Exactly. And so we are there to help coach on a day-to-day basis, as well as Nexstar provides a model for success. And we talked about that a little bit today as well. We have a process by which you can run your business, the things that you should focus on that will help ensure that you find that success that you're looking for. And that's done through, we have a series of trainers as well that will come out to your location that will help your members or help your customers, being the employees of the business, be as best as they can be.
Speaking of trainers, I mean, Dave ran a phenomenal session this morning. I was talking to him on one of our breaks. I kind of want him to get out to come to Blue Corona
oh,
and teach the folks. But you've mentioned like home services and trades. What industries, what types of businesses specifically does Nexstar work with?
So specifically, we focus our efforts onto plumbing, electrical, and HVAC companies who work with residential services. So we are home services. Now, some of our members will do commercial work sometimes, or they'll have some stuff on the side. But Nexstar focuses, our core is on residential, plumbing, electricians, HVAC.
Kind of that holy trinity.
Yes.
Trades, if you
will. Exactly.
Yeah. So you've been, you joined in 2019?
Yes.
So I'm really curious then to hear your take on how the industry has changed over the past 5 years, because we obviously had the two COVID years in the middle of there, right? It's shortly after you joined, probably three or 4 months. Actually, I was at a Nexstar event down in Florida the day everything started shutting down. And with a name like Blue Corona, some of your members were a little ruthless. But I'm curious to hear, you know, how you've witnessed the digital marketing industry specifically for contractors change over the past 5 years.
Yeah, there's a lot that kind of can go into that. And you're right, it did. There was a huge shift initially, right, as I started, because there's all sorts of small things that will shift our industry. There's things like local service ads that will shift our industry. There's things happening this year in terms of SGE, the search generative experience and stuff within the digital marketing world that will adjust what our needs are. But I would say some of the biggest pieces that I've seen as a shift are going to be mainly the lengthening of the process. When I came in, a lot of what I was hearing and seeing and experiencing through our members was people have a problem, they need a solution today. And they are going to get that solution today because they don't have time to do this. They don't have time to think about this. They are looking for a service. During the time that we were all working from home, there was a lengthening of that process, to where all of a sudden people were able to do more research. People were able to be home more significantly. And I think where I saw it personally more than anywhere else was all of a sudden something like remarketing and retargeting to customers who didn't convert, which previously was like, look, if they saw you and they didn't convert, showing your name again is not going to help. They needed you right then and there and they made their decision. Now, all of a sudden we started seeing remarketing and retargeting and this ongoing process start to work. And we were like, okay.
Now, when you say start to work, can you define that for us?
Yeah. So like all of a sudden where we would almost coach against doing any sort of like follow-up. If they came to your website and you were like, oh, we're going to remarket to them with display ads, we were like, don't. That was a waste of time because they were already on your website. They made the judgment and they said no. Mm-hmm. So don't waste your money trying to put yourself in front of them again. All of a sudden, we started seeing remarketing ads bringing people back. We started seeing people after 2 or 3 days converting. And those numbers went up, cost per conversion on things like that all of a sudden started to come down and it became very, very effective. And so we really leaned into that. I think what it shows more than anything else is that that time period really pushed us hard into building relationships and not selling a product or even a one-time solution. And I think that's the biggest shift that I've seen, is that we really are in the business of building relationships because of the industry that we're in. Again, that holy trinity of the bottom of the needs. When you walk into a building, you expect electricity. You expect it to be the right temperature. You expect running water. So we are needing to build those relationships because we're not necessarily, well, you need it. It's not a high desire item. It's not something we necessarily brag about anymore.
I mean, as a homeowner, that's the worst part of my day is if I have to call an air conditioning contractor.
Exactly.
Right? Like, and so I totally hear you. So that's interesting that you said you saw that process lengthening. I think you're right, probably due to everyone has a little bit more time to research. Also, I think home improvement tended to be more top of mind, whether it's more needs-based, kind of like air conditioning, plumbing, electricity, right? Or whether that be a kitchen remodel we put on a back patio like during COVID, right?
Yeah.
And so we all started thinking about our homes. And then as a result of that, a lot of these systems started getting replaced a little prematurely.
Yep.
So all the systems, the air conditioning units or water heaters that, you know, got installed year 7, year 8, you know, it's year 10 now. And now it's a little bit tougher out there for the contractors and the members that you serve to generate business, which kind of brings me to my next point, which is in the reason you and I got together today, because you and I were talking about shoulder season.
Yeah.
And some of the challenges that shoulder season can present for contractors, particularly ones who rely on weather-driven events like air conditioning contractors or heating and air contractors. So, Nick, my first question to you about shoulder season is, can you just, in your, like, how would you describe shoulder season? Because I have my own definition of it, and it's The only way to describe it is my wife and I put the girls to bed a couple weeks ago, and it was like 60 degrees outside during nap time. And we just sat on our back patio. We didn't do anything else. We just sat and relaxed. The weather was nice. We opened the windows and enjoyed the nice weather. So I know that oftentimes presents challenges for contractors. Oh, so yeah. How would you describe it?
No, that's great. And again, getting back to where we started the conversation, let's make sure we're speaking the same language here. So I love it. Shoulder season to me, more than anything else, is when the audience isn't coming to you naturally. We are in a needs-based industry. When it is hot, we will have breakdowns. Those people will need to have their stuff serviced. They will need to have their equipment serviced. However, as you said, there are times where we are not working that equipment to the high capacity that we needed to. It might not even be on. The number of furnaces that break down while they're not turned on is very low. So it really does come into the fact that, like, shoulder season, more than anything else, is when there's not an audience coming to you to talk to you. Because that's where you see that dip. The shoulder refers to the fact that we are seeing it fall off the edge because people aren't there calling you and you have to start generating things on your own. So that's how I define shoulder season, is when your phones aren't ringing naturally. Not to say that your phones aren't ringing, nor can you not have an effect on it. You definitely can. But to define shoulder season, that's when your audience is not reaching out to you because of breakages as much as they normally are. It hits HVAC worse than most others. I would say plumbing is maybe second worst, with some seasonality. Again, if you have freezes, if it's cold, or if even if you live in a hot place like Texas and all of a sudden everything freezes because of our fun weather that we deal with, there's some seasonality there. Electrical, even less, but that's usually kind of the levels that we see it at.
Yeah, it's this interesting dynamic because, you know, as a homeowner, I save some money on my energy bills, right? And like I said, I get to spend time outside and just enjoy the nice weather. But that's oftentimes when we'll get phone calls at Blue Corona and say, what the heck's going on, guys?
Their slowest season is your busiest season.
Yeah, and if you look at search demand from homeowners for a term like AC repair, you're right. It's going to be dips and peaks. And so it's our job as marketers to minimize the peaks and valleys as much as possible in a weather-driven industry. So, Nick, if you could share...
Now, next, I would say not weather-driven, weather-enhanced.
Weather-enhanced.
I will say that.
I do like that. Thank you.
If you're weather-driven... You're letting the weather dictate what your business is. You don't want to do that.
And I mean, it's also interesting too, when you talked about finding customers to talk to and conversions dropping down, we're seeing this interesting thing happening right now across our paid search, which is costs are going down. It's a little bit cheaper to play. Google's kind of lowered the floor to bid, so to speak, but conversion rates from homeowners are down tremendously, which has then caused the cost to acquire a new customer to go like that, right? And that's also a problem that we tend to see in shoulder season. So what are some of your recommendations for keeping the phone ringing during shoulder season? What are some of the things out there that a contractor could be investing in?
And this one's really tough because, again, that's where you start to panic. When you're in your peak season, and again, you were talking about it before, we had a two-year span where things were amazing. And then all of a sudden, now we're back to how it was before. And we kind of all have like memory loss of long term. Oh, what is shoulder season is going to affect us? So it really is kind of thinking about, okay, if that audience isn't there, where is there an audience that I can talk to? Where can I find that? And so the one thing that you can do high level is think about, like, my job is to get people from point A to point B. And if they're not people coming and asking me to deliver them to point B from point A, I need to tell a story to convince people that there is a path to point B that's going to be positive for them. And you have to have that audience that is willing to listen to you. If you don't have that audience, you are just waiting. You're standing there at the, you have a bridge that brings you from island A to island B, again, point A to point B, and you have been, people have been coming up to you asking you to cross over and over again, and you're just showing them the path. Here it is. And we're the best. Look how strong our bridge is. We got this. But the worst thing is that, like, and this is the big piece, when that audience isn't there, you can't just yell louder. you're just yelling out into an empty void. And guess what? All those other 10 companies who have the same bridge or a very similar bridge to take people to the solution are also really desperate for those 10 people who are there.
And it's your, and I mean, it's our job to pivot too. I mean, it might not be the same channels or strategies that you're investing in today that work during shoulder season. It might be a combination of those, right?
100%.
But it might not be, you know, to get you from point A to point B because your customers are, they're spending their time somewhere. So where are they spending their time?
So customers are spending their time on their patios. They are hanging out, they are relaxing, and they are looking for entertainment. And so a lot of times when it comes to that, we have to shift to one, finding places where we can be in front of people where they are. Is there social media that we can be utilizing? Is there broadcast or even narrowcast? We're talking about connected TV, stuff like that. But how can we get in front of people? Where are they looking? Where are their eyes? At least to start the process. We also need to build on those trusted relationships that we should have been building during the positive times. During the 2 years that we had, did we build relationships to get people to talk with us and listen to us when our times were bad? A lot of times it is going in and making sure that we've added value. One thing that I'm sure you've seen a lot through your career is the value of reciprocation. The more you give, the more they're willing to give back. And that's some of the things that I really think is a way for us to look at that is to look at these channels. Where can we give through these channels on a consistent basis? That way, when we can give back, we have an audience ready to give back.
That's an interesting point that you made in terms of finding the audience to talk to, but telling a story. I think a lot of listeners out there will hear you need to tell a story and jump to, well, that's not going to make the phone ring. Mm-hmm. So where does that kind of line in the sand, where is it drawn between the entertainment factor and telling a story and differentiating your business from Joe Schmo's heating and air down the street with achieving your goals and like continuing to push your business forward?
Yeah. And I think that comes more than anything else from finding what that is in your business that provides that success. And this is going to go outside of the trades. This can be for anybody.
What makes you unique?
What is it? Not even what makes you unique. I do love that. But in addition to it, what value are you providing today? And are you showing that value? Even when times are slow, you should still have value that you can provide. And you should be able to tell the story of that value. And that can be for any product. How does your product make my life better today? And sometimes that is an obvious answer. Again, during peak season, the value of I can fix your furnace is pretty obvious. When your furnace is broken and it's 100 degrees inside your house. Or I'm sorry, for a furnace, it would be negative. When your AC is broken and your house is 100 degrees, that's an obvious thing. But you as a company are always going to be able to provide some sort of value. But your customers don't know that, especially in the trades. They don't like to think about it. Like you said, I'm not like on my days off and my weekends when I'm sitting out on the patio with my wife and kids. I'm not like, you know what? I'm going to flip through the new AC units and I'm going to see what those are because, man, I just can't wait to have a company come out and put a new AC unit in. We have value that we can show. Every company should know that. And sometimes that requires storytelling because you're not going to be able to just say, hey, you have a story that you're bringing to us. My AC is broken. I need it fixed. We have to tell you the story. We have to tell you how that value is, where you can find it, how you can benefit from us. And once they understand that story, then you can move forward with them. But until they understand it, they're never going to move forward with it.
The story is almost, it's the education aspect of it. It's you're educating the customer, not only about your, obviously, the services you offer, where you are, right? But it allows you to show your business for who you are. I mean, at the end of the day, we're all people, right? The trades are almost one big customer service industry, right? Like we're there to make, provide a great experience and install some equipment along the way, right? But it's that education. And I think in shoulder season, kind of bringing it full circle here, education needs to be top of mind for contractors, because again, like you said, I'm not thinking about when the last time my air conditioning unit was cleaned or when my water heater was inspected the last time, but contractors do. And that is an easy way to fill your calendar and your call board with jobs. You know, are you following up with your maintenance agreements customers? Are you working on growing that program? Oh, that's kind of like free money coming in each and every month, right?
100%.
And so it's a lot of that education. So at Nexstar, I mean, you guys educate, that is what you do. Where do you see and how do you coach when you say, hey, you need to tell a story and you need to educate? What are some of the things that contractors often aren't thinking about? Maybe it's storytelling through different integrated campaigns or, you know, different channels. But what are some of the things that, you know, you're potentially either recommending or just asking and saying, well, are you doing this? Are you doing that? Because those are things that you should be doing.
I think I'll go back to it again. The number one thing is we're not looking far enough ahead. If you ask any Nexstar coach about what the biggest, most important thing is, it's you need to have a plan.
Win the day.
You need to have a plan. Yeah, you need to have a plan. What does winning the day look like? Do I need to be doing? What are we going to see coming up? Again, we live in a cyclical world and these things are going to come in time and time again. And so knowing what that is, knowing where this is going to happen and how we can plan for it to be proactive instead of reactive. Because again, if you're not telling a story far enough in advance, when it gets to shoulder season and then all of a sudden you're panicking, you're three steps behind.
Yeah. If you're calling your marketing agency saying, I need more calls, you need more calls 2 weeks ago.
A lot of times, marketing is not something that's built overnight. It is not something that we can instantly execute on. The pieces that you can instantly execute on, and there are some. There's some things that I can tell my members, like, hey, there are instant wins that you can do, but they're not going to happen if you haven't been building the path all the way up to this point. You need to build those relationships to be able to cash in on them. And so I think that's the number one thing that we need to be thinking about is, are we building those relationships? How are we building something that can be cashed in on? Because that's what we're not thinking about. We are being very reactive. We are living in the moment. And then when time comes, all of a sudden they're like, hey, well, I need something now. And I was like, well, you needed to build something up for 6 months to be able to activate on it. And now we don't have that. So if you're not doing that, where it's going to impact you the most is that wallet.
You said something interesting there, which was, you know, if you're not putting the steps in place or the processes, campaign strategies in place 6 months in advance, it's too late. And so, you know, one of the things that I always encourage, whether it be a Nexstar member, but anyone in the trades, is to, you need to be constantly keeping a clean database with customer information, right? Because your existing customers or past customers, such a powerful tool. And I feel like a lot of contractors fail or often just neglect their existing customer base. And there's a whole lot of untapped revenue in that customer base and a whole lot of value within that data. So when a member comes to you and says, hey, things are slow, are you encouraging them to use their customer data across existing client type of campaigns, or is it more of that storytelling and brand building and trying to go after those new customers?
Oh, it's definitely, I mean, it's both. But I think one of the biggest things, and I'll use an example, if you like already have, let's say, a special credit card and you have signed up and it gives you miles or points or whatever, if you consistently are getting mail from that company saying, hey, sign up for our credit card, sign up for our credit card, sign up for our credit card. You're like, I already have it. You don't know anything about me if you are sending me these meaningless pieces that are just broadcast messages that are out to everybody. And it gets very frustrating. I had an experience with a home services industry that was very similar, where they were getting me to sign up for a service that I already had. And I was like, how good is your quality of work? If you are trying to get me to sign up for something that I've already signed up for, you're spending your time, money, effort, pushing for something that you've already achieved. And so that personalized approach is super important, especially nowadays. Again, as people have a little bit more time, they've done a little bit more research, especially in younger generations as they're coming up. Generational research will also show you that they want somebody who cares about them, because that's what we're selling. We're selling relationships. To be tone deaf in that is going to turn them off immediately. So 100% utilizing first party data, and within the world of digital marketing, we have the depreciation of cookies and pieces like that. Yeah. And so knowing enough about your customers and being able to activate on that is going to be super, super important. And it's important to be honest with yourself and know, are we getting what we need? Do we have the processes in place? Because it might not be within marketing, especially when you're in home services, getting the information that you need. A lot of times that sits in other places operationally. So So having those conversations, making sure that it's known, hey, this is what we're going to need in order to be successful, and making sure that the company has bought in on that.
Yeah, you made a really good point there about the deprecation of third-party cookies that's going to be happening, because I don't think a lot of folks truly understand what sort of impact that can have across your digital marketing campaigns. I mean, I was having a conversation with our Kylie Castrucci, our director of paid media, and she was saying, hey, like our customers, if they don't get on board with this, could lose up to 30% of that third-party data that we use to build audiences and lookalike audiences and to go market their businesses. So I know a little bit of a tangent, but that is, it is very important. It is coming up. So
yeah. And that kind of stuff, those are the changes that we have to be aware of. And again, if you're not looking ahead and we're not knowing that this is going to happen when time comes, again, now you're three steps behind. I needed to be collecting this data months ago to be able to activate on it, not just waiting until the last minute until the change happens. And then you go, oh, okay, it's all good. Like, we'll just shift now. Yep. You have to be ready.
Well, that's one thing I appreciate about our relationship and getting to work with not only you, but Nexstar over the past 6 years was to be able to have some of those conversations, right? And say, okay, what are we doing about third, whether it be third-party cookies, a recent Google algorithm update, share that knowledge to be able to push our members forward. Because as you said, I mean, you didn't say it actually, but they don't know what they don't know, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's our jobs to be consultative in that approach. And so kind of switching gears here a little bit, we've touched on, we talked display and remarketing and things like that, but how important is a more robust strategy in connecting and finding people to talk to throughout the entire journey, as opposed to just focusing maybe on Google Ads?
Oh, it's 100% important. You want to kind of look at that and see that, and it's going to be important to see for all of your customers. A customer journey is something that we all go through for everything that we do, and we look at it on a lot of different sides. We look at it from the customers themselves when we're getting into people's homes and we're working with them. But you can also look at a customer journey as in bringing in new recruits and finding new people to work for you. They go through a customer journey and they're going to have touch points. And so it's always important to remember that you always have to be marketing. You're always visible. You're always kind of there because there is this immediate impact that they're going to have, and you need to bank off of the fact that you've done everything you can. One of the things that I would say would be, we talk a lot about the messy middle. We know that people are getting catered to, they're getting marketing messages all over the place all the time. Mm-hmm. And understanding that not only do we have these messages coming at us, build a relationship before they need us. Are we there to build a relationship after? Again, it all comes back to planning. So think about your customer journey. Think about where they are. Think about what decisions they're going to make and what would influence those decisions at the different points. Because honestly, as you said, it is super important, and we coach to it constantly, because if you don't, you end up spending monetary capital doing what human capital should have done.
Yep. Well, I like one of the things that you guys coach to as well, which is in similar vein and speaking to marketing throughout the entire customer journey, is I've heard you say before, like, you almost view Google as your second homepage of your website. Can you tell me more about that? I mean, what exactly do you mean by that? And how is a contractor who is able to leverage, let's call it there's infinite scroll now. I almost said the first page of Google,
yes,
right? But someone who's leveraging Google to advertise along or throughout the customer journey and not just, you know, to get that new customer.
And again, you're kind of looking at that customer journey. You're walking through it. You're understanding it. One of the things that's great about the digital marketing world is you get to see what people are saying about you. If we look at it as similar to a relationship in the world, people are going to say stuff to you. They're going to leave you reviews. They're going to talk to your face and say things, but they might talk behind your back as well. As much as we would like to think people don't, they're going to judge you. They're going to look at
for
you.
For the record, I never talk bad behind your back, Nick.
Well, thank you. Good to know. But even if you're not talking bad, you're also talking good behind my back. And there's things that you're saying to other people that are going to influence their thoughts and spheres about us. And people are doing that within the interweb. There is a whole world of communication that happens online that we want to know about. And Google does a really good job of congregating all of that into one place. And so when people are looking for you, they're not always going straight to you. At my last job, we came up with, when we were thinking about it, you are probably one of the least reliable data sources about what goes on within your own company. Because, of course, nobody goes out there. I don't know any home services company that does. If you do this, email me. I would love to see your website. That's like, we're the third best company in the region. And we provide really mediocre work. Nobody's going to put that out. Everyone puts their best foot forward. And so it's really important to understand that, like, customers aren't always going to go to your website to learn what really goes on. They're looking at third-party sources. They're looking at online reviews. They're looking at all these other places. And Google does a really good job of bringing all of that together and displaying it. So when customers who don't remember your name, again, we are base level. We're at the bottom of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Everything that home services provides for electrical, HVAC, and plumbing, that's an expectation that everyone has. That's not like a great thing. So we don't tend to think about it too much. We're not doing research in advance. When people have that need, they have to ask. They have to find somebody else that's an expert because they are not experts in the home services realm. And Google does a great job of congregating that together. So you get to hear all the conversations that would normally go on behind your back as Google brings them forth and says, this is what we're showing people about you.
And Google's actually starting to have conversations with people too, through, you mentioned it earlier, the SGE or search generative experience. But it kills me when I, you know, a contractor, I'll speak to them at Super Meeting, or maybe it's at one of these other trade shows, right? And they say, well, I need more calls.
Yep.
So what do you think about YouTube ads? And I'm saying, well, if you need more calls, I don't know if YouTube ads are the first place I'd put my budget, but we could have a conversation around that. But it kills me when, you know, they're not maximizing everything that they possibly could on Google. I keep saying Google, but
search engines,
you know, search engines, Microsoft, Bing, that they're not maximizing all the channels that they possibly can. Video, Google Business Profile. I mean, we see more than 50% of our clients' organic calls, because we track all of those calls, more than 50% comes through that organic tracked phone call that we put, or phone line that we put on GBP, right? Google Business Profile. And so it's super critical to make sure that you're filling in the gaps on Google or on search engine and making sure you're found, because you're right, you never know when someone's going to need you. It's why jingles work so well.
Oh, yeah.
They get stuck in your head and, oh, I need Morris Jenkins. I'm gonna name drop Morris Jenkins because I live in Charlotte, but we're gonna turn it on gently. You know what I mean? There's a reason why those things work.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
No, and I love that, and I think that those kinds of pieces, like you said, you have to fill in the gaps. One thing that I will say is that Google, and as if you're a digital marketer working in the worlds of the trades, Google is going to take a lot of the things that you used to be able to say were successes. We're looking, me and you have had talks about what is organic traffic going to look like this year. And you might lose some of that. We might lose some organic traffic as Google continues to push this thing. But what Google can't do is Google can't do your job as the trades. Google is not sending people into people's homes and like fixing the pipes and making sure the air conditioner is working. Google's not going to do that. They are going to take away that traffic, and they're trying to serve their customers as best and fast as possible by getting them the right answer.
I mean, it's the end of the day. It's what they want.
You are still the right answer. And that's the thing that we don't want to forget. You're still the right answer for the question. Google's just trying to get that information to you faster. So we need to make sure that we're keeping track of that. And search engines in general, even ChatGPT, all of that kind of stuff that's coming up, are trying to get answers. And so you have to make sure that you're the best answer. And like, that's the biggest thing is, are we the right answer? Are we providing the right answers to the questions that people are asking? Because they're asking more complicated questions, different questions than they ever have before. I think a stat we pulled was that it was insane to me. Even in the year 2023, it was something like 15% of all searches done on Google were never done before. These were brand new searches. I was like, it's been around for 25 years with a billion searches a day.
Well, with the rise of long tail keywords.
Still more stuff coming in that we've never seen before. And yeah, you're right. Long tail keywords, SGE, Google's getting BERT. We can name drop 100 things. But like, we used to have to search, if you're as old as we are, and you remember when Google started, that you couldn't search long tail. If you typed in more than three or four keywords, all of a sudden Google started spitting out garbage results.
Well, part of that was because we had to click our phone three times to get to the letter K, as opposed to now, you know, my daughter's 2 years old and answering FaceTimes from grandma, right? But the point is, We're typing much faster. We're using voice search so we can naturally speak. Dave talked about our speaking rate, right? And yeah. So that, I'm sure that's probably bumping up a lot of that new search data.
Yep. And Google AI is all getting better at understanding that. So we are starting to see more of that question type answer. What Ask Jeeves promised on 20 years ago is now finally happening. And I think that that's something where that's going to be a big shift digitally as we move forward, is knowing that we do need to start answering these more specific questions, because people are asking and getting relevant answers to more specific questions than they've ever got before.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, it's important to remember, and I'm going to butcher it here, but I remember I included a few years ago in multiple presentations, Google's mission statement, which went something like this. It was to organize the world's information and make it more easily accessible. I might have just gotten it 100%, so shout out me.
I thought it was don't be evil. I think it's both of them.
That one, I don't know. We are a Google partner, so no. You know, but when you think about that, what Google wants to do, we as a consumer, we want the information quickly, mm-hmm. right? And so whether I'm buying a new pair of running shoes and I want to know if they have my size and color that I prefer, I want that information quickly so I can make a decision if I purchase. If it's a home service contractor, I need to know things like, do you service my area? How can I contact you? Can you get to me in time? And a lot of those things are very important to establish trust and continue to drive your business forward again during shoulder season, because you don't know when they're going to need your services. And we know they're going to need you even less during shoulder season. So,
and it's not going to stop. The shoulder seasons are going to keep coming. We're hoping, looking kind of big picture, as you were talking about at the beginning, we pulled a lot of stuff forward by about 2 years.
Yeah.
Because we were trying to make up for pieces we were getting into people's homes. So we did. We had two great years in 2021 and 2022.
I've got to think about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Again, we're getting old.
That's a good that's also a good sign that we're beyond it.
Yes. And 2023 and 2024 are those years where we're still pushing to, we're feeling the effects of that. We're hoping 2025 is less like that, that we're going to see a little bit more of that regular stuff that we've seen. But it's not going to go back to how it was in 2021 and 2022.
I think it was a good reminder to get back to the basics a little bit too, yeah. and say like, hey, you know, when calls were coming in, like you said, we didn't have to do display or retargeting because we just pick up the phone and business was coming to us because business was booming. And now we're going to have to rethink a little bit, not only during shoulder season, but in 2024, but specifically during that spring, fall shoulder season.
Yep.
Nick, is there anything else you'd like to add that we didn't cover?
Not that I can think of, honestly. Like, we covered a lot here. Again, I would say kind of make sure that you are focused on providing value, answering the questions that people are going to have. As we're talking about, what do you do during shoulder season? It is listen to the customers, understand what their needs are here and now, understand how you can continue to help. People are never going to turn away their friends. If you have their best interest in mind, if you're really serving them and answering their questions and getting them something that makes their lives better, they're going to be receptive to that information. But you need to make sure to grow that relationship because they need to trust you. Otherwise, you're going to come off as the, like, that sketchy salesman that's going to come up out of nowhere and be like, hey, I've got a magic special deal for you. And
only
you're
going to, yeah, tough.
Exactly. And you get that snake oil salesman who's coming in and trying to sell you on something because you've never heard from them again. And they're going to leave town as soon as they sell you. That's not what we're trying to be. That's not what's going to grow long-term value. We are in a business, especially within Nextar, that can provide long-term value. These things aren't going out of style. These things are pieces that are core to who we are and the types of lives we want to lead.
Yeah. I mean, Dave said it best, I think, this morning. He said, air conditioning, heating, plumbing, and electricity is what separates first world from a third world country, in his opinion.
Yep.
And I thought that I hadn't heard it put like that, but that was really insightful.
Yeah.
So, well, Nick, we appreciate you joining the podcast with us. Hopefully everyone learned something. And how can folks, if they're interested in learning more about Nextar's best practices or potentially even joining as a Nextar member to grow their business, how can they learn more?
Yeah, great way to learn more, start right off the bat, would be to go to nextarnetwork.com, and on there you can connect with our team. You can book right into their calendar. You can have conversations with them. They can then connect you with people who maybe have used Nextar services before. So definitely kind of take a look there. We are there for, again, to turn the world's best tradespeople into the world's best business people. So if you are working in the trades, things are not going as easily or as smoothly as you would have hoped. And you want that not only other people within the trades, but other experts from around the different areas of the business to be there to help you. That's exactly what we're here for. And again, our whole mission is to help you be better, whether it's partners like Blue Corona, who have been excellent to us over the years, or our members themselves. Everything drives towards the success together. And we go for the win-win-win. So
it's been a great experience over the past 6 years. I was thinking back, it was kind of crazy that it was 6 years. And I didn't realize, I mean, I knew like Alicia was a coach, obviously before, and then you came onto her team, but I hadn't realized that like you hadn't been here all 6 years that we had worked together.
It was pretty early on because, like, again, it's almost been 5 years now. It's been about 4.5. So I came on just a little bit after, and you guys were one of the only places I got to visit before we got locked down. Like, yeah. Right as I started, I was really lucky enough to go and sit down with you in a conference room like this, but at your place.
Smell some good barbecue.
Yeah, exactly. Get the barbecue smell from below, but also to just talk with you guys about, hey, what's going on? Again, grow that relationship. We wanted to maintain that relationship with you guys because we know that life lives and dies on relationships. So
I think 1 + 1 = 3, how I view it.
Wonderful. I love it.
All right. Well, Nick, appreciate it.
Brandon, thank you so much for having me.